Strikeouts and Busts. It is Wednesday, August 20th right now, but you are hearing this on Thursday, August 21st. This is Fantasy Football Today, the podcast. Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg, along with me, Adam Azer. I did the names in reverse for some reason. So that
everybody
was weird.
Noticed.
That was wow. Weird. That was a bust. Bad start. RG3, news on him, Colin Kaepernick, Michael Crabtree, and then we'll get to the breakouts and the busts and take some emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We've been on the air a lot today. And
yes.
We're getting a little loopy.
Yes.
So this should be fun.
It should.
And you're
just
still wearing
like
makeup.
It's gonna be,
yeah, you're still wearing
still
makeup.
Yeah.
And it's going to be just as much fun, Adam, on Saturday at Foxborough, the CBS scene for our fantasy football party. If you live in Boston, Providence, anywhere in between, anywhere nearby, even if you're a diehard fan in New York City, come see us. It's free, 10 a.m., CBS scene, day after the Patriots preseason game. Details at cbssports.com/fantasyparty.
And you don't have to be there at 10 a.m., by the way.
If we get over 500 people there, will you take your shirt off?
And let us shave the CBS logo into each nipple?
Okay, now you sold me. At first I was like, no, why would I take my shirt off? But now I'm all about it. So don't think anybody's going
to
come
that.
Now.
I'm holding. Oh, they're coming.
By
they're
the
going to drive
from
like California.
That was our VP of marketing, Dave Richard. RG3 says he will slide. So is he more
My
likely
kids
to be
do
a,
it at the park every time they're there?
Is he more likely to be a breakout or a bust this year? Or neither?
Neither.
I think he's more likely to be a bust than a breakout.
Brian Hoyer will be the Cleveland starting quarterback. Is he more? Never mind. Colin Kaepernick played with a chip bone in his foot for most of last year. He got hurt in week two at Seattle, and he didn't really rush. In year two, or year three, I guess, for him, like he did in year two. I mean, the total yards are more, but obviously he was a starter all year last
His yards per rush went down.
And right after he got hurt, like the three or four games after, he barely ran at all. We did see some in the playoffs, though, right? Picked it
he
up.
He ran a lot.
Especially against Green Bay. That's kind of what he does against Green Bay.
Is he about to have his best season?
Yes.
He should.
Michael Crabtree says he was never fully healthy in 2013. Is he about to have his best season?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Breakout? Can we call him that?
Yeah. I feel like he's broken out, though. He had the one big year two years ago.
He had a half a year because Kaepernick made 10 starts that year, and that was really when
Yeah, but his
Crabtree
numbers were good.
I think he's got the chance to have the best year of his career, so yes, I would call him a breakout.
Ooh, I might steal that then.
Philadelphia traded for Kenyon Barner, a running back. Went to Oregon, Chip Kelly.
I can't tell you how much Kenyon Barner loves Chip Kelly because I talked to him at the Senior Bowl 2 years ago.
Please, you can tell us.
He he referred to him as a football genius, just like all these other people from Oregon and now
Philadelphia. Chip Kelly said that about Barner?
No, Barner said that about Chip Kelly. Did I say Chip Kelly
no,
said that about
he
Barner?
He didn't.
No, he did not say anything wrong.
Chip Kelly obviously likes Kenyon Barner, but we'll see if he makes the team.
Yes, we will trade for you to cut you.
Chris Polk has a partial hamstring tear, so who's the handcuff?
Sproles.
Yeah?
Yeah. They're going to be in a bit of a pickle if LeSean goes down.
Okay.
He's not out for the season, Chris.
No.
Polk.
Oh, he's not. Yeah, he's
no,
not.
No, but a hamstring tear could lead to other problems.
Speaking of
which, LeSean McCoy's turf toe is very minor. And Odell Beckham Jr. hurt his hamstring.
More
again.
Beckham talk. Oh, news.
Welcome
news.
To the New York Giants. Hour.
I mean, I go through this whole thing about how, oh, he had this hamstring injury. He's healthy now. And probably while we were saying that, he hurt his hamstring.
Way to go.
Yeah. Dave's breakouts. Now, listen, we're doing breakouts and busts today, so I don't think we're going to go as in-depth as we usually do. But if you want to read the columns to get more information, you know where to go, fantasynews.cbssports.com. I'm going to read all your breakouts. And then you can pick and choose who you want to talk about. Kaepernick, Monte Ball, Rashad Jennings, Doug Baldwin, Cordarrelle Patterson, Reuben Randall, Terrence Williams, Zach Ertz, Ladarius Green. You know what I think would be a better idea?
What's a better idea?
Give the, like, 2 to 3 sentence update on all of these guys, and then we can talk about specifics.
Okay. I'll try that. Should we play music in the background, like circus music or something? Are you really going to do that?
No.
Colin Kaepernick set it for a career year, just got paid by San Francisco. They're not going to still be a run-first offense with him there. He'll run the football a decent amount, but I think he throws for over 4,000 yards this season.
I got like
it totals
six.
Over 30 touchdowns.
I think it was only four,
six
maybe
sentences.
Five sentences.
I got
there.
Six.
All right, we'll call it five.
He went from right into the just got paid. I think that's a sentence.
But what about the one he said, but? I was making that a compound sentence with a comma. Let's take five sentences.
A little more than two or three. Though.
All right, go ahead.
All right, I'm going to start counting my sentences now, and the sentence that I'm speaking in does not count for Monte Ball.
Monte Ball.
The running back that plays with Peyton Manning is usually very good. Ball is going to have the opportunity that Knowshon Moreno had last season. Look for him to get close to 20 touches per game and goal line work.
Yeah, it's three. Monte Ball, or Knowshon Moreno, was the number five running back in standard scoring leagues. Really good in PPR, too, last year.
Yes, he was.
Rashad Jennings.
Don't love him that much, but I think in round five, he's a good get. He's going to be even better in PPR leagues, and he has a shot to get, potentially, 1,200 total yards.
What?
Disagree?
Yes.
Go for it.
I don't want Rashad Jennings on my fantasy team.
I think he breaks out and has his best year.
I think he had it last year.
I think he does better statistically than what he did last year.
Nah, it's going to be a little tough.
Why? Because he's going to get hurt?
He's going to get hurt. They have Andre Williams. The team's not very good.
Just right, so he's going to play when
there's
they're
a lot of
behind.
Situation going on with
he's
going to
catch a lot of passes.
29 years old, getting his first chance as a starter. I don't love it.
The team not being very good doesn't really have an impact for me. In fact, if they're not good.
No, that's why I said it third.
They're going to be.
That was third.
I think Jamie was just riffing there. But if they're not very good, it probably would help him since he's going to be their passing downs guy.
And let me add that when they signed him, I took a look back at how he did last season because I used to not be a Rashad Jennings guy. When I saw his film with Oakland, which is a worse team than New York, Adam, I was impressed. I think he's a good do-it-all type of running back.
Well, Jennings, you know, he couldn't stay healthy, but he's had good yards per carry in his career. He averaged over five yards per carry in 2009 and 2010 with Jacksonville. He missed all of 2011 with a knee injury. 2012, he came back, averaged 2.8 yards per carry. Maybe he wasn't healthy. And then last year, 4.5 yards per carry. So I actually think, looking at his past, he's had a solid career other than missing all of 2011 and struggling in 2012.
I'm fine settling for him in round five as a flex, as a third running back.
All right, let's
in a PPR, my second running back.
You're okay with him? Top 24 PPR?
Top 24 PPR, I'm okay.
Rashad Jennings or Trent Richardson?
Jennings. I'm not a Richardson guy, though.
Richardson.
Rashad Jennings or Ray Rice?
Rice.
Rice, but another guy I don't really want.
Rashad Jennings or Chris Johnson?
Jennings.
Jennings, but same thing.
Yeah, Jamie's not drafting that group of running backs.
No, that's where I take receivers. Yeah. That's where I take Patterson, and I take Floyd, Harvin, Roddy White, potentially, if he's right there.
It's an important thing to kind of do before you draft is look at those running backs, the guys that you've got or that I have ranked 22nd through 30th, see how many you're really familiar with and really wouldn't mind having on your team. And if you don't like those running backs, then guess what? You should probably take two with your first two or three picks.
Doug Baldwin.
I think he has a shot at catching for 1,000 yards this season and playing a lot in the Seattle offense. When I was reviewing Golden Tate's film, Baldwin stood out to me. I think he's a very good receiver, and just no one knows it yet.
Yeah, that was four or five sentences?
No, it was at most four.
Okay, I'll go four. Do you think he can be as good as Golden Tate was last year?
Yes, if not better.
To me, that's his ceiling. Which is good. Top 30 receiver.
All right, Cordarrelle Patterson.
Well, this was always Jamie's guy, and so maybe I'll be accused of stealing him, but I don't care because I really like him as a sensational breakout candidate. Has Norv Turner at his disposal and really showed off everything that he could do late last season. And with a better passing game in Minnesota, I think you could see Patterson's numbers really take a large ratcheting northward.
How about Patterson or Floyd?
I have Floyd ranked higher, but that's a close call. Do I have Floyd ranked higher? Hold on, everybody. Jamie, I've got Floyd ranked higher by one slot over Patterson.
Oh, how about that? Patterson or Floyd?
I think Floyd is safer. I have Patterson ranked higher because I think the ceiling's higher.
It's funny. He's got him one spot higher than Floyd. So you've got some drama on the podcast now. Now we have to fight.
Scored 6 touchdowns in his last 5 games, but only had more than 35 receiving yards once in those
five
games.
That's the concern, is will that grow? I think it's going to be much better, but how much exponentially better?
How would you describe the Minnesota offense last season?
Putrid.
Horrible.
Yeah. How would you describe Norv Turner's offenses? And if you want really focus in on, I don't really want to say just Cleveland because he couldn't run the ball in Cleveland. They had no running game.
He's a very good offensive coordinator. There's
You can't. I know the year plus he was in Miami, definitely 1 year. He was their offense was good. I believe that was the Gus Frerotte season. No, that was Nick Saban. It was maybe one of Fiedler's years. Mm-hmm. Was when he was here in Miami.
Yeah, he's always
San Diego. He obviously had good offenses there.
Okay.
Who else are they going to throw to?
I love him.
Besides Rudolph, I like him too.
There is the thought that Jennings will lead them in targets just because of the role that he plays and how reliable he is. But nobody likes Greg Jennings.
If they were a quarterback, who would you throw to?
It doesn't matter. I mean, if they run the ball with him, that's going to help too. Even if they do it once or twice a game.
I think they have to. I want to see him catch.
They have to put the ball in his hands as much as they possibly can.
Yeah. Agreed. Reuben Randall you have as a breakout. 3 sentences.
Giants are going to be in a lot of close games where they're going to have to throw the football. I think eventually the passing game is going to come into focus, and I think Randall is their most dynamic mid-range to deep threat receiver they've got.
Terrence Williams. He's better than Reuben Randall, right?
Dallas's offense, without question, is going to be playing from behind. Tony Romo's going to throw a lot. Dez is going to have double coverage. Terrence Williams, who had over 700 yards and 5 touchdowns as a part-timer last season, definitely locked into that number 2 role. They desperately need him to play well, and I think he will.
But who is going to – at whose expense? Because he barely
Harris?
Got targeted in the red zone last year. He had only 9 red zone targets.
Okay.
And with Witten being such an instrumental player on the team, you know, unless he drops – have they ever had two really good wide receivers?
Well, Miles Austin, before his hamstrings were bad, was a serviceable second guy.
Yeah, but you're not drafting Terrence Williams to be Miles Austin, are you?
Who did they have when Miles Austin
stepped
up?
Those two guys played well together for a moment.
Pretty sure
I wouldn't
and
be surprised
Harper.
If Terrence Williams breaks out, but is it going to come at the expense of Witten? I've always had that
concern. It could.
I
think you just got to understand that. You know, Dave's brought up a very good point about Romo's pass attempts over the last few seasons. And if you couple that with how I feel this offense is going to go with Linehan, of throwing so much, that it's going to be spread around. And it's almost the same. For me, it's the same argument of Golden Tate. Why Golden Tate's going to have an opportunity? Well, there's going to be a lot of attention on the number one guy. In this case, for Dallas, it's Dez Bryant. And then you factor in also Jason Witten. He's going to be in single coverage. And so 2-3 times a game, you're going to see Tony Romo take some shots down the field at Terrence Williams with the way that the penalties are being thrown in the preseason, probably going to draw a penalty or two. And they're also going to have the chance to hook up on a couple plays like we saw last year. So there was that stretch in the middle of the season when Austin first went down where Terrence Williams took off.
Terrence Williams or Colston?
I like Williams better.
I have Colston ranked 1 spot ahead of Terrence Williams.
Oh, sorry. I keep doing that to you.
Well, it's all right. It makes me rethink things, but I'll still take Colston.
See, to me, it's the whole save versus upside.
Is there no upside, though, with Marcus Colston? Because he, you know, before last year, he was a very solid top 15 wide receiver year after year.
Yeah,
right?
he could get there, but I at this point, though, who would you think has a better chance of doing it? And you could say Colston, and that's fine. I
will say Colston.
I understand why you would say Colston. But I just look at where Colston is with the foot injury, with the guys that they're trying to bring along with Kenny Stills and Brandon Cooks, and obviously Jimmy Graham. The running backs out of the backfield, they just don't really need Colston as much, I think, as Dallas needs Terrence Williams.
And 2 tight ends for Dave, Zach Ertz and Ladarius Green. Zach Ertz.
Monster in the progressive Philadelphia passing offense, will play far more often than he did last season. And late last season, he came on extremely strong and should be able to build off that for the Eagles.
But Brent Celek still got more red zone targets than Ertz did last year.
That was last year. Fine.
Is Celek, and I've been watching them, and Celek still gets thrown to.
He does. But so Ertz, I saw him get targeted in the red zone, and he caught it in a preseason game.
He sure did.
Yeah.
I'm just asking, are you you know.
No, like Brett Celek does not. Might Celek steal two touchdowns away from Zach Ertz this year? Okay, sure.
Okay, and
but I think Ertz is going to be a big focal point of that offense.
And similar situation with Green in terms of Antonio Gates.
No, I think the Chargers will regularly put two tight ends out there. I think they like Green so much and have seen the mismatches he can cause that he'll be out there more often. Now, if I'm wrong on that, well, you're taking Ladarius Green with a late pick anyway. I think he could be this year's Julius Thomas.
Wow.
The guy you take late, and you can take two tight ends if you want. Or you could even take two tight ends with two of your last picks. You can take someone safe like Heath Miller and someone with upside like Ladarius Green. And even start the season with Heath Miller week one against Cleveland at home and think that I think he could have a good game there versus San Diego against Arizona with the way the Cardinals improved their safeties, not the same type of mismatch that it was. I think Green has just incredible upside.
Jamie's breakouts. Jay Cutler, Giovanni Bernard, Monte Ball, Andre Ellington, Shane Vereen, Toby Gerhart, Michael Floyd, Golden Tate, Terrence Williams, Dennis Pitta, Jordan Reed, Zach Ertz.
I should have put Gerhardt on my list, too. Well, I love him.
All right, let's cross Monte Ball off. We covered him. Cross off Terrence Williams and Zach Ertz. Jay Cutler, three sentences. You don't want to do this game?
I think you look at the receiving core, and it's elite. You look at the production from a year ago when you combine his numbers with Josh McCown. It's top five good. And they paid him a significant amount of money and let the other guy go.
Disagree?
I used to, and then I saw how comfortable he was in the offense and how good the receiving core is, and I don't see color. The only problem with color is injuries. Not even the division is a problem anymore.
So
the defense and the division aren't that
Cutler or RG3?
Good or whatever. I'll take Cutler.
Jamie, Cutler or RG3?
I still have RG3 ranked higher. However, if it comes down to it and I don't love where RG3 needs to come off the board and I see I can get Cutler around later, I'll take the value of Cutler. They're very close for me.
Giovanni Bernard, I think we've covered him quite a bit. Andre Ellington, how are you feeling about him now?
Still the same. I think he's got the ability to play like C.J. Spiller 2 years ago. That's the comparison I like to make because of his yards per carry, his catches, his yards per catch, but I think he'll do more as a receiver.
Ellington or Gerhart?
Ellington.
I would like to do a quick exercise, if I may, Adam.
Sure. Do you need more space?
You want to draft Dwayne Bowe first?
No. Not that type of exercise. I already did that today at the gym. I'm going to name the running backs in Arizona not named Andre Ellington. You tell me which one of these guys is going to take Andre Ellington off the field. Ready? Begin. Stephon Taylor, who has fallen to third string.
Yeah.
Jonathan Dwyer.
Yes.
Jonathan Dwyer.
He is.
Robert Hughes.
No, it's Wire is.
Jalen Parmalee.
But the thing is, Dave, it just happened last week. Dwyer got the touchdown.
I think he stinks. And yeah. I think the Cardinals are going to learn pretty quickly that if their offense is going to be tough to gauge for opposing defenses, that Ellington has to be on the field.
Would you rather have Ellington or Gerhart? Obviously PPR, it's Ellington. What about standard?
I have Gerhart higher, but I would not fight you if you took Ellington over Gerhart.
Shane Vereen?
Yeah, I had him as a breakout last year, and it didn't materialize because of the broken wrist, so why not? Let's do it again.
Okay. Works for me. Vereen or Reggie Bush?
Vereen.
Yeah.
Vereen or Gerhart? I know it's going to be Gerhart for Dave. How about you?
Same.
I think I brought this up on the video show today. 5-13-8 games played in 3 seasons for Vereen.
He's got injury history, but it's, you know, buying into contract year for him. Stephen Ridley fumbles. James White is not impressive. And that role has been very vital for Tom Brady over his career.
Well, we talked about Toby Gerhart. Michael Floyd. There's really a lot of buzz about Michael Floyd right now.
There are some people in Arizona that like him better than Larry Fitzgerald.
I don't think you could be too surprised if he had a better year.
Nope.
No.
The value is better for a fantasy owner.
But will he get the
touchdowns? So if you like the Arizona offense and you like these receivers, let somebody else take Fitzgerald in round 3 and you can get Floyd in round 5. Will he get the touchdowns? I think he'll get enough.
What do you think, like six or more?
I would say more. I would say closer to seven or eight.
That'd be nice. Golden Tate. Who do you like better, Floyd or Tate?
Floyd.
Yep.
And Detroit's never had a good number two wide receiver.
Are you disparaging the likes of Nate Burleson, Chris Durham, Kevin
yes.
Ogletree, Titus
Nate
Young,
Nate Burleson
Ryan
was
Broyles.
The best.
Do you know who's been their second-leading receiver each of the last 2 years?
Their running backs.
No, one last year, which was Reggie Bush, was their second-leading receiver. The last 2 years prior to that was your favorite tight end of all time, Brandon Pettigrew.
Wow. That's saying something there.
You know what it's saying?
What, that they haven't had anyone as good as Golden Tate?
Yeah, exactly, which is why they went out and got Golden Tate. So I think all that stuff's going to change.
And separate discussion, I totally see where you're coming from on Golden Tate, but I do wonder if Calvin Johnson is still a top five receiver, but maybe not number one this year. Well, it's got to come from somewhere.
Look, you can – the one
it's
guy –
It's going to come from Brandon Pettigrew.
The I guess there's two guys you could say, which – don't really have a knock on them of the top six receivers, which would be Demaryius and Dez.
Yes.
And you can easily say, okay, I'm not going to take Calvin. Now, the I'd like to see if a fantasy owner would actually pull the trigger and take Demaryius or Dez. There's going to be exceptions.
I don't think I would because I recognize how amazing Calvin Johnson is, best receiver I've ever seen.
Especially in a new offense that's going to be downfield.
Now they
but he has a messed up finger. He got a little bit dinged up at the end of last year. I just feel like I've been saying that I don't really like his draft value that much. Since couldn't you see seven or eight receivers finishing number one?
Oh, more
number one? Sure. What about top three, top five?
I think all of them could have a case.
Do you think there's a case where Calvin does not finish top five, barring injury?
No, he'd have to miss more than two games.
I mean, the dude's had
he's been
12
top
or
five.
More touchdowns three of the last four
he's
seasons.
He's unbelievable.
He's been top five each of the last 4 years.
1,500 yards. Total.
But I don't really see what separates him from Demaryius Thomas other than just reputation and physical being a beast.
Well, the reputation part I can't speak to, but being a beast, it's part of why. He is a beast in that offense.
Well, I just think people like... He's so exciting, and you want him on your team. But Demaryius Thomas is a little bit like more understated, but still puts up the. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and don't discount Dez either.
No, I agree. Last year, a lot of people thought maybe they didn't think it, but they kept saying like bold prediction: Dez Bryant's going to be the number one wide receiver.
Well, sure, when he said he was going to go for 2,000 yards,
yeah.
He was coming off the monster finish.
That's the kiss of death, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
The whenever. Boasting.
Yeah.
I had Drew Brees, those type of
Peterson, Lamar Miller, Dez Bryant. Lamar Miller was more like, you kept saying it.
I'm going to go 1,500 yards and average 5 yards a carry.
Yeah, he didn't. Newsflash. Dennis Pitta.
Yeah, like rewind
no,
the other podcast.
Jordan Reed.
You project his stats over 16 games last year, and he's the number seven tight end. And that was as a rookie with inconsistent quarterback play. So bring in a healthy RG3, bring back a healthy RG3, and weapons around him that leave the middle of the field wide open. I like his outlook, and I'm not worried about the concussions.
Okay, Dave, you're not a huge Jordan Reed guy, right?
No, I'm more excited about Ertz, Kyle Rudolph. I mean, I would even take the safety of a Greg Olsen over Jordan Reed. I see exactly where Jamie's coming from. I am worried about the concussions.
I just find it interesting that you say this about Jordan Cameron. Say this about Reed, but not about Cameron.
Yeah, I don't know. There was something about how that all went down last season. The fact that he hid a concussion from the coaches.
He's a little sneak.
I'm a little nervous. I'm like a mom. With their, with
the
way
out
there.
The way you said that, I was like, I'm a little nervous. What are you going
to
do?
Yeah, like I feel like Jordan Reed's mom. Like I want him to go play football. But I don't really look like Jordan Reed's mom, though. I don't want my little booby to get hurt out there playing football. That's all.
Jamie's busts.
Oh, you should reveal what Dave told you on the video show today. You learned about him.
Oh, yeah. Dave has like a tiny, girly dog named Alvin.
he's an awesome dog.
He has a pink bow.
He does not have a pink bow.
Would you let your cats play with his
dog?
Yeah,
maybe like 10
I don't
pounds.
Have a cat.
Would you let his
no
dog
pet policy
rummage through your chest there?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Alvin's a Havanese poodle. Cute little guy.
There goes Ethan's thing for tomorrow.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying it. And, you know, I've got a wife and two kids on top of that. Guess who's the first to greet me when I come home every night from work?
Really?
Jumping all over the place.
This is great.
Yeah,
do you have
a
picture?
Yeah, on my phone.
You have your phone with you?
No.
Oh, shame. All right, Jamie's bust. Nick Foles. Do you guys still want to fight about this? Sure, why not? It's our bust podcast. Jamie, why is he a bust?
I look at what he did last year. It was great. I've seen a lot of these quarterbacks come into prominence and then disappear quickly. I think he's going to fall back with his production. So I still take him as a top 12 guy. I just do not like his average draft position. I think it's way overstated.
What is the average draft position?
It's not necessarily where he's being drafted, which is obviously pushed up a lot for the quarterbacks based on where we think they should go.
It's top five rounds.
It's not just top five rounds. It's that the guy this guy is going ahead of, which I think are Romo, RG3, Cutler, which are three guys I like significantly better than.
I'm finding myself, if I don't have a quarterback by round four, I'm never drafting one in round five or round six.
What if Matt Ryan's there?
Well, I like Foles better than Ryan. And Kaepernick, too. So if I'd be happy with either one of those guys later on, maybe late round six.
Why do you like them better than Ryan?
I don't know how Ryan's going to get to, like, 35 touchdowns or, you know, run for a bunch of yardage like Kaepernick's going to do. Foles runs a little bit, too. A couple hundred yards rushing and three touchdowns.
But you say you don't know how he's going to get there. If Julio didn't get hurt, he would have been there.
What was he on pace for?
5,232 touchdowns he would have finished with. He would have been second in yards behind. It may not be 50, maybe
Matt
more.
Ryan.
He would have been second in yards behind Peyton.
Going to remind everyone
it's
how
certainly,
great he is.
I already had Ryan ranked where he was before the offensive line. I'm not going to use that as a crutch in the argument at all. And I like Matt Ryan, too. I just think there's more potential with the other two quarterbacks. I think they both are in line for big years. And Ryan should be in line for a big year, too. I don't think he's going to be the MVP of the league, though.
I do, yeah.
I think Foles is just the right guy in the right place.
What numbers does Ryan have to do to be the MVP?
4,800 yards or more. Yeah.
There's only one number.
In the 35-ish touchdown range.
There's only one number.
11 wins.
No.
11 wins?
It's got to be higher than that. It's got to be like 13
wins. Not in that division.
Yeah, I think 11
win
wins.
Win that division.
How many quarterbacks on 11-win teams are the NFL MVP?
That's a good point.
Unless everyone else in the league has 11 wins.
I just think that it's going to be one of those years where it's like, oh, we're going to vote for Peyton Manning again, Drew Brees.
Yeah, that's what
Matt Ryan's the new blood.
Do.
Yeah. He won't necessarily have a better year, but they were so bad last year. He's going to play like a G. People are going to realize he's one of the best quarterbacks in football. Okay.
He's
Marshawn
gonna play,
Lynch.
He's going to play like what?
Like the man.
Like a
G.
I hear you.
Marshawn Lynch is a bust, 400 touches. Marshawn Lynch or Le'Veon Bell?
I would rather have Marshawn Lynch right now.
Interesting. Dave?
Lynch or who?
Bell.
Le'Veon?
Mm-hmm.
I'll take Le'Veon.
You feel good about that, James? I feel like your heart wants to put Le'Veon Bell ahead of him.
I think I can get Le'Veon later.
Well, you can't. You can't get both.
Well, I can.
If he's
depends
in an auction,
you'd have to
you
take
can.
One of them in the first
depends
round.
Depends where I pick.
But I know you're not taking either of those guys till the second round. So that means you can't have
Yeah, I just think, you know, if you're starting to knock some of these guys, where does the knocks start to equal out?
Yeah. You have Reggie Bush as a bust. Just workload?
I think they're going to scale back his workload. Now, you know, the problem with this is a lot of these busts I did early. So they don't look the same.
And by the way, a bust does not mean terrible season, no fantasy value.
It's relative to where they're being drafted or when I wrote this at the time they're being drafted.
So who do you want to focus on then?
I mean, you can focus on any of them. Doesn't matter. But
Chris Johnson,
just,
you
explain
just,
it. Like Reggie Bush's average draft position right now doesn't look as horrible as it did when I called him a bust the first time.
Let me see where it is now. Lately he's been going in the fourth round
right.
for us. Reggie Bush is going 40th, so middle of the fourth round. You're okay with that?
I don't hate it as much as I did when he was going in the mid-30s.
Right. Ben Tate. Ben Tate is going at the beginning of the sixth round.
Which is fine, but at the time he's going in the fifth round.
Why is he a bust?
I just think that he's going to struggle to stay healthy for 16 games as a starter. And they have a guy that's playing behind him that has the chance to be better than.
I'll play devil's advocate here because I drafted Ben Tate this week with a late fifth-round pick because I was desperate for a running back. So here we go. I'm desperate for a running back in my draft. I see the starter for an NFL team is still out there. It's a starter who's not 30 years old, who doesn't have a ton of work on him, does have some injury concerns, does have a rookie looking over his shoulder. But at least at this point in the preseason, he looks fine. And I know that offensive line is good. I know the defenses in that division are still pretty good. That's going to be a problem for me too. But I figure at least to start the season, he's going to be a crutch for my fantasy team. And I don't know if I need to count on him for 16 games. I don't like spending a pick in round five on somebody who might be off my roster by week nine. But it's somebody who can help fill a spot for now. And now I'm done.
Here's the problem I have with what you said. Desperate for a running back. Because I know the way your team came out, and that was your flex. Why does he have to be your flex, and why not go a receiver there?
The best receiver left might have been Torrey Smith. I could have also gone Vernon Davis, but I gambled that he would be there in round six. Felt better about taking Vernon Davis in round six. Potentially, I could have taken Davis in five, and Ben Tate could have fallen to me.
Dave,
in round six.
I support you. I think...
I don't think Ben Tate's going to be great.
I think even if he doesn't have to play 16 games to produce like a fifth rounder.
Yeah, but I don't want to spend a fifth round pick on a guy I'm only going to use 6 weeks.
Well, you don't have to. Okay, if he plays 12 games, you're going to be happy with that, I think. If he's good, if he's the starter,
how many of those games is he even going to be productive for where I'm going to feel good starting him? That's the problem I've got with Ben Tate.
But that's the problem you're going to have with any running back you take
in round
there.
Five. The problem is in that draft, and we're talking about the 12-team standard that we just did, in case everybody listening wants to go and look it up on CBSSports.com, I don't think there was another running back left. Rashad Jennings went ahead of him.
Lamar
Miller was there.
But, yeah, I mean, like, you could take Lamar Miller over Ben Tate, but you're going to really feel good about – right now you're going to say, I feel good about starting Lamar Miller 10 times this year. And none of the running backs going in that range are going to make you smile. That's why they're going that late.
Could the argument be made that I made a bad pick by going running back and that I
should
have gone?
That's my point, is that...
Would you have gone Torrey Smith out of Ben Tate?
Who were your receivers at that point?
You guys, the top two of Jones and Crabtree.
I had Jones and Crabtree.
I think you could do either one personally, and I think...
Torrey Smith and Ben Tate to me are the same type of player because none of them is like exciting, but there's marginal to good value based on what they should be able to do. I think Torrey Smith, if he plays the Andre Johnson role, like he's talking about, he could be a very sneaky pick. But take Torrey Smith out of the equation. Just the fact of the way that you set it up, and I know the way that you draft. Because like you would rather have three running backs than three receivers. 9 times out of 10.
Say what?
Because he wants to stockpile running backs.
He wants to stockpile running backs.
Right, and that's why I support what you did there, because that's the nature of running backs. After the first 20, you're not going to love any of them. You're not going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm so pumped
But you're still taking a starter for your team. Why not take somebody who
doesn't have to be a starter for your
team.
But that's
what he
was doing. Later.
But not necessarily.
The value, you know, you get Terrence Williams later. Just because you drafted Ben Tate earlier, it doesn't mean you have to start him.
It's true.
You're stockpiling at a weak position.
The number one reason why I took Ben Tate was to have depth at running back.
Yeah,
I still think round five, you're still getting quality players there that are better off.
He might be one.
I'm not saying he's not. That's why I think the idea of just splitting hairs on who the players are is not the point. Because in round five, in our listeners, Ben Tate's not going to be the best running back there.
Okay, let me look who's going around Ben Tate. Steven Ridley. And then, all right, so Trent Richardson, Chris Johnson, Ben Tate, Steven Ridley. And then, after that, Pierre Thomas, Maurice Jones-Drew, Steven Jackson, Fred Jackson, Lamar Miller, Terrence West. I mean, none of those guys right now, and that's the nature of running backs, right now on draft day when everybody's healthy, none of those guys look like starters for your team. But you take a lot of them because you don't know what's going to happen with this position, and then all of a sudden you end up with a draft day steal because you took Knowshon Moreno in the 10th round last year. You know, you took Alfred Morris in the 12th round 2 seasons ago. I don't know. That's kind of my approach to it. It doesn't look great on draft day, but you took it because you want a starting running back. It's more valued for that guy, and you can find receivers later. Can't find running backs. Running backs later suck.
More importantly, I didn't take the next guy on Jamie's bust list.
Which is who? Chris Johnson. Then Arian Foster you have as a bust as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of
But
obvious.
You took him in the third round. in our latest in the draft
again,
yesterday.
You know, it's relative to where he was going, to where he's fallen now, and to where he fell in our draft. I don't think you can argue taking Arian Foster in the third round.
Ray Rice.
Yeah, I just think it's, you know, the way that Bernard Pierce has played, it's going to be 50-50 split.
Dave?
That's kind of how I've envisioned it.
I think the Ravens are going to try and wedge Rice in there. I think they know just how much backlash there's been for him because of his off-field incident. And as long as he can function in the offense, i.e. run in the zone blocking scheme, they're going to try and keep him very much involved in what they're doing. And judging by how he's looked so far this preseason, I think he could be very effective. And if I can get him late round four, round five, I'm satisfied with that, even though I know I'll be without him for the first 2 weeks of the season, which, P.S., are going to be tough matchups anyway.
This is the one that I think is one of the more interesting ones, DeSean Jackson, 22nd wide receiver taken right now, going in the beginning of the fifth round.
I just don't consider him a top 24 guy with the other receivers that could potentially go after him.
Percy Harvin, Emmanuel Sanders, Edelman, Tate. You like all those guys better?
Mm-hmm.
So why? Because he was top 10 last year, right?
He was great last year. But I think you look at his track record when there's been another guy of equal or better talent, which for the most part of his career in Philadelphia was Jeremy Maclin. His numbers were not as good as they were last year.
All right.
And so I'm expecting regression. Now, the benefit for him, if you're a DeSean Jackson guy, is the role that he's going to play in Washington's offense, which he's playing the A.J. Green role mm-hmm. of Jay Gruden's system. So if you think he can thrive in that system, I don't think he can. But if you think he can, then you draft him in the spot that he's going.
Sammy Watkins.
Another guy that I think at the time that I wrote it was being overdrafted because he had a great one-handed catch in shorts.
He's 33rd now, ahead of Terrence Williams still.
Don't like
but
it.
But that's falling, so that might change.
Yeah, he's falling because of the rib injury. You know, people that drafted this past weekend saw him get hurt. They don't like stuff like that. And he hasn't looked good. He hasn't looked good in game action.
Eric Decker, Vernon Davis, Jordan Cameron. Read about it on the website. Sorry, Jamie. Let's go on to Dave's busts. Cam Newton, real quick. Reprise?
Reprise. Suspect offensive line, suspect receiving core. I don't care what we've seen from Kelvin Benjamin. I think Benjamin's looking better. I don't think he's going to be a 1,200-yard, 10-touchdown rookie. I think you're thinking more like 800 yards and 6 touchdowns, maybe even more, maybe even 7. And I think he can eventually become a great receiver for Carolina. He's got great raw skills, but the key word is raw. He's not ready to go to be a number one in Carolina. He's going to be forced into that role. You can tell that their timing is off just by watching their preseason games. And Cam's rushing stats have declined each of the last 3 years. His rushing numbers produced less than 100 fantasy points last year for the first time in his short career. And I think that's going to continue to head south.
In a four-point-per-passing touchdown league, is he a top 12 guy?
No. Really? Not for me. Not for me.
Jamie?
No. Me, it'd be tough. I debate that between him and Foles.
So I would say if people are, you know, because your rankings are for 6-point pass touchdown leagues, but if they just go to your projections and do some math, they can probably figure out sort of how to rank guys for 4-point touchdown leagues, right? Is that fair?
Sure.
Probably.
Good calculator. CJ Spiller. I mean,
I've had it.
Why?
I don't see a situation where he's going to get a ton of work. I think Fred Jackson's going to take so much off of his plate that the opportunity for Spiller to A, get a lot of touches, and B, do a lot with it like he did 2 years ago, I don't see it being there. And he's not going to work inside the 10-yard line very often, if at all. He's not going to be on their 2-minute drill unless Fred Jackson's hurt. I mean, that's really what you have to hope for. And isn't that what happened to him 2 years ago? Fred Jackson got hurt?
Yeah, but that's
Spiller
been Fred Jackson's
in.
Track. I just find it interesting how you know.
Go ahead.
Percy Harvin's injury history and not Fred Jackson's. Just two guys that have been.
Because it feels
a
like it's
record.
Every single year for Percy Harvin.
Well, prior
last
to last
year
it was
crazy.
Every single year for Fred Jackson for 3 previous seasons.
And he's the oldest running back in football.
I agree. Listen, Jackson.
And they're going to run him into the ground.
That's fine. To me, Jackson's in the same boat as Ben Tate. If you're drafting him, it's not to be your guy every single week. I don't have Fred Jackson as a top 20.
This isn't really about Fred Jackson.
But if Jackson.
Well, no, but I'm saying that Fred Jackson takes enough away from CJ Spiller, who is also an injury risk, by the way.
Yes.
Then it's going to impact Spiller's stats. I don't want him on my fantasy team, even if it's in round four or wherever.
If you knew Jackson's only playing 10 games, where are you taking CJ Spiller? Or you still feel the same?
I'm nervous that they'll let Anthony Dixon take touches away. They like Dixon. They've got him third string.
The only thing I don't really like about your theory is I totally get what you're saying, and I'm less bullish on him because you've gotten in my mind about it. I feel like you're discounting his talent, which I don't think is fair because he's awesome. And last year he was playing hobbled, and he still put up like 4.6 yards per carry or something like that. And I think if he's healthy, he's going to have big plays.
I'm also a little bit anti-EJ Manuel. I mean, nice guy, smart guy, all that stuff, but as far as quarterbacking goes.
But who cares?
I don't see it.
Plenty of good running backs.
I care because defenses might stack a little bit against
pro
CJ.
They will. They will.
No, I wasn't really pro Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Of course they will, but they did it against the Vikings. They did it against, I'm sure they did it against the Bills. Look, when Spiller had his breakout year.
I think there's enough evidence to know that CJ Spiller is not going to get back to the level he was 2 years ago. I think we can all say that that's a fair statement. The one thing that I would say is,
I don't know about that.
Well,
Fred Jackson gets hurt.
It does take a Fred Jackson.
Yeah.
This coaching staff is not high on CJ Spiller. It's pretty evident that they give Jackson the contract extension. They trade for Bryce Brown. They sign Anthony Dixon. So they're not looking at CJ Spiller, who has the option to opt out of his contract this year after the season, as somebody who's in their long-term plans, which is fine. They're entitled to it. He was drafted by a different regime. They obviously see injury prone, and maybe they don't like his work ethic because Doug Marrone told me at the coaches' meeting, he's never seen a guy work like Fred Jackson works, which is you know, certainly understandable for somebody coming out of the school. I think CJ Spiller in round 3-4, I like that he'll fall.
Where did he go to school?
Who?
Fred Jackson?
Fred Jackson?
Yeah.
Coe College.
Oh, okay.
You thought I meant Spiller?
No, I thought it was like a Gators joke or something like that. I didn't get it.
No, he's a Division III guy.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Went to the same school as Marv Levy.
Cool.
I just think that Spiller is the type of guy, if you're in Dave's camp, you avoid. Or I'm toeing the line a little bit. I'm nervous as well because of what I've seen and what I've seen from this coaching staff. But I think where you're talking about the group of guys he's going in, it's the same upside and downside as the guys around him.
I just rejoined.
I hear you. And he's 41st to 42nd, so he's late round 4. I don't want to trust him.
He's early round 4. 48th is the end of round 4.
Okay.
Stephen Ridley is Dave's bust, fumbles. Stephen Jackson.
Hashtag old.
Yeah, I just wonder if people are discounting Stephen Jackson too much.
I almost think he's becoming good value.
Right, like,
I've seen him go in round 10, and
That's insane. I would take him in round 7.
Yeah, I can't fault you for it because, I said this about a lot of these guys, and you know, it's almost like your same argument for Ben Tate. You could get 6 to 8 games of very good production. It's not going to be 100 and a touchdown. But we saw it from Steven Jackson to close the season last year. He had a bunch of 40-yard rushing games and a touchdown.
Yeah.
Those 10 points as that type of player for you, flex, number 2 guy in a bye week or an injury situation.
I kind of feel like Michael Turner had a good season when he wasn't a very good running back just because of opportunity.
The year that Turner came off his 370 carry season, he had that string of double-digit fantasy points, but it was so ugly.
Yeah.
But it's still, they give volume work to their starter.
Yeah. No Sean Marino is a bust for you?
Yeah. I think if you're expecting him to do what he did last year, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think he even comes to, like, 60% of what he did last year.
The Raiders are a bust for you?
Yeah, just pick a Raider. I don't want him on my fantasy team.
Eric Decker, both of you guys had Decker as a bust.
I'll take Decker off the PPR or off the bust list in PPR leagues. I think he'll catch a lot of passes.
I drafted
the touchdowns
him
go way down.
Number 3 receiver. I think it was my flex in a PPR league.
I don't have
a
problem.
It was kind of a late pick, so I like that.
That's cool.
Edelman bust. Interesting.
I don't think he does what he did last year either because the majority of his production came when Gronk was sidelined. And now Gronk is back. The receiving core is better. It's going to take opportunity away from Edelman. I think in a PPR league, just like with Decker, can't deny him what he is. Mm-hmm. But 100 catches, I don't think so.
Well,
I think around 80.
Welker is a bust for you. And he's one of the, to me, like when I see him get drafted, that's one of the most interesting, intriguing ones for me. I don't know what word to use, but I don't know. I feel like people were discounting him last year, and he was awesome.
I loved him last year.
Okay, so how do you feel about him this year?
to me, this will depend on what kind of health Emmanuel Sanders has to begin the season, because if he's not ready to go, then I think Welker could be leaned on very heavily by Peyton Manning. I'm worried about him staying healthy for 16 games. Another guy who had a bunch of concussions last year. They had to sit him out after the second one. I don't want to see him get hurt. I want to see him catch 100 passes and score 10 more touchdowns and do what he's always done. I'm nervous about his health, and I'm nervous about whether or not he'll be as prominent, which is very, very prominent in the Denver offense. I think he's still going to play a lot, still going to get a lot of targets. And yet another guy who in PPR leagues, I can't fight John.
Welker or Floyd?
I'll take Floyd.
Floyd.
Let me check my
rankings. I'm surprised that you have Sanders ranked ahead of Welker.
Oh, I think Emmanuel Sanders could have a huge year. But based on what?
It's not like he's coming from a bad passing offense.
I think he's...
He didn't come from this passing offense.
No.
Well, I mean, he's going to be more featured in that offense than he is going to be in this offense.
I disagree. I think he's going to be more featured in the Denver
offense.
Second mouth to feed in Pittsburgh versus fourth mouth to feed at Denver? That's an upgrade?
Who says he's going to be the fourth? It's going to be dependent on how
you really think
him.
That Peyton Manning is going to look at him and say, I'm trusting Emmanuel Sanders more than Wes Welker
he's
when they're both on the field?
He's far more explosive threat than Welker.
I have
Floyd over Welker.
Explosive, too. Yes. Will he have more yards per catch? Yes. Will he catch the ball more than Wes Welker? No chance.
How many fewer catches might he have? 20?
Yeah, at least.
Okay, but he's going to average a couple yards more per catch.
A couple.
To make up for it.
And the touchdowns won't be close.
Oh, I think the touchdowns could be close.
I don't think so.
Well, listen, he's got to replace all those Eric Decker touchdowns
Welker
somewhere.
Welker had 10 touchdowns in the amount of time that he played.
Amazing. And yet Eric Decker had like 12.
Okay.
So I don't think Emmanuel Sanders is going to get 12. But I don't think he'll be too far behind Welker.
Okay. Let's read some emails. It's good stuff. Read more about it on the website. Chris from Greenville. Trade proposal. Charles for Sankey and AJ Green. Which side would you rather have?
Sankey and Green.
Really?
I wish I knew more about the league. Like, if it was a PPR league or a dynasty league, I would definitely say Green and Sankey. I think it's a little harder to pull off in a standard league. It's a fairish offer for Jamal Charles, but the owner that is Charles, I don't know what his other running backs look like.
Just answer the question.
I think in a standard league, I stay with Charles.
Dave and Jamie, I need your help, says Travis from?
French Lick, Indiana.
I have my draft this
weekend. We're back in the Midwest.
Yeah. I have pick 11. Our league is quarterback happy, so I feel the top three quarterbacks and top five running backs and Calvin Johnson and Jimmy Graham will be gone. What should I do in this position? Should I get two stud running backs or grab Demaryius Thomas and a running back? So he thinks top five running backs plus Calvin, Jimmy Graham, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, and Drew Brees are gone.
Demaryius going to be there?
Yeah.
If it's a PPR league, that's what I would do.
I assume it's a standard league based on what he said. So I'll take, since he didn't say it, PPR. I'll take Demaryius and DeMarco.
Can you get Demaryius and DeMarco? Which one do you get first?
Well, he says 8, 9, 10 guys will be gone. So
yeah,
yes,
but who do you get first? Because he's got the 12th and 13th picks before his next pick.
I would take Demaryius first and then settle for either DeMarco, Monte, Gio, or Dez.
I'd go the other way. I'd take DeMarco first and settle for Demaryius, Dez, Julio. Or, if you like the running backs ranked 22nd through 30th in our rankings, take Demaryius and Dez and or Julio.
AJ
and
from
go with the running backs later on.
AJ from Brooklyn says, hey, Eric, Eddie, and Ben. We'll look it up. I watched something on Numbers Never Lie where they were talking about how running backs begin to decline starting with the season when they turn 29, or when they are 29, with the main focus of this being on Adrian Peterson, who I own. Could you grade this potential trade, Peterson and Sankey, for Forte and Watkins?
So is this a fair trade? And if it is a fair trade, we give it a what?
C. C is even.
And we think if it's in his favor, we
C
give it...
C plus or higher. So he gives up Peterson and Sankey for Forte and Watkins. In other words, he gets a C- or lower.
D.
Yeah, I was going to say D.
P.S. Adam, not only is FXX airing the entire Simpsons series from the beginning, they're also adding all 552 episodes to their app, FX Now. That's
cool. You know what I like about AJ from Brooklyn?
What's that?
And what I hate about you?
What's that?
Is that AJ from Brooklyn obviously has a diverse network of things that he likes to watch and or use. And I hate about you as a CBS guy reading something about two other networks.
Yeah, but they're not. Oh, I did read the. You know what? I'll say this about Numbers Never Lie. That's Michael Smith is on that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anything else you want to talk
he
about?
He did. I saw him on ESPN Sports Center right before the NCAA tournament.
I've never heard of ESPN.
He said based on numbers, the Florida Gators were definitely going to win the national championship. Pretty sure it was him who said that.
When that show first came out, I happened to catch it, and it was actually really an intriguing show.
Numbers Never Lie?
Yeah, I haven't watched it. I'm a big fan of Michael Smith. I've read his stuff, but yeah. I haven't watched him since he's been on it regularly. I'm sorry, Michael.
No, just saying. Numbers do lie sometimes. Okay, we got to go. Don't do what I think you're going to do.
What? Danny and Toronto.
Steve and Jamie. Okay, we're out of here. We're going to do a 2-quarterback mock draft for our next podcast. We're doing the draft Thursday on the air. We're going to air it Friday. Have a great day. And we'll see you Saturday in Foxborough.
And Saturday night on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, my God. Okay, Jamie's out of control.
Jamie
just tried
to throw a remote control.
I put your mic back up.
At Adam, and Adam thought he was really going to throw it. What do you mean he's crazy?
He's crazy.
Why? Because he tried to throw a remote control at you? Don't you remember the time I almost hit you in the eye with a pen?
Yes, bye.